No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I find so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, you see, I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. But then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption. Thank God. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care through your precious blood. I found pardon and my sin gone. Yes, it's true, there have been days when I felt you. Lord, you know that there's been times that I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. And your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. You see other friends, they've never been as close to me. You see, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow. Why's that? Knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that love me. See, I'm amazed how you care through your precious blood. I found pardon and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. I'm amazed, Lord, just how much you care through your precious blood. Yes, I found pardon. My sins are washed. Oh, washed away. Oh, my sins are washed. They're all washed away.
The stars, one and all, he knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls.
He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I've cried.
He knows my name
when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. To the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed.
He knows my name,
every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry.
He knows my name
when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I've cried.
He knows my name,
I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day,
I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
The first and the third verses of Glory Land Way. Should all give Brother Alan Clayton a big round of applause, because this is much harder than it looks.
Robert, are you done announcements? Okay. He's going to do applause.
Please remember the outdoor fellowship next Sunday evening at 5 p.m. We hope everyone will make plans to attend and see, and to see Miss Amanda or Miss Christie if you would like to donate or help for any of the food. Also, mark your calendars. Homecoming will be Sunday, September 12th at 10:30 a.m. Brother Snyder Turner will be preaching, and there will be a number of special songs that morning. Please help spread the word so we will have a great time, have a great turnout. On our prayer list, please remember Brother Harold Dolph, who will be having some upcoming surgeries. Chuck and Cece, their son is recovering from his bad scooter fall, as we heard from this morning. We will pray. Please pray for him. Continue to remember Miss Mary Kelly, who had back surgery this past week and is recovering. Please remember Miss Barbara Anderson. And if you would like to set up an in-person visit, please contact Miss Darlene, who will let Miss Shields know. I'm sorry, Miss Cheryl Millwood, to get them scheduled. And remember all others on the prayer list. And also, I do ask y'all to remember for that little girl, Dixie Rose, once again, and a bunch of other family members deal with that. And Brother Kevin Brook, would you please pray for the offering?
Thank you. God as a disciplinarian. That's tough to take, God. I don't know about that, but you know what? If it's what you want in my life, then that's what I want. So God, do whatever it takes to mold me, to make me into the image of your son. It's in his name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Hi. Who are you?
Well, I'm God. You just said the prayer, so here I am.
Yeah. You're not God.
Yeah, I am. You said the prayer. Here I am. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? If I made it snow in here, it'd get kind of yucky, and I really don't want to do that.
You're not God.
Why do you say that?
God would not say yucky.
Yes, I do. It's a Greek word.
Okay. If you're God, then... Mm-hmm. What does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Come on. Lamentations is a very short book. It only has 5 chapters.
Why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the tournament this weekend?
You know what? I'm really into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. I'm like that. Okay, step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Well, what are we doing here?
You said the prayer, you want to be formed into my son's image, so that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
All right.
So what are these?
These are the tools that I'm going to use to make you into my son's image, okay?
Okay.
All right, just submit.
Here. I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Okay, here we go. Step right up. Okay. All right, okay.
Just wondering, how do you know what to chisel off?
I take everything in your life that is not me, kind of like dead weight. I take it out.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, speaking of dead weight, could you get right here? I've really... Nothing works. Could you just... Whoop.
You're going to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel, talk, chisel,
yeah.
Talk,
no,
chisel?
Chisel, yeah, chisel.
Here we go.
Okay. All right.
A lot of anger right there.
Ow.
A lot of pride. Some jealousy. Some bitterness I want to deal with.
Ow.
Yeah. And you even have a competitive spirit that I want to get rid of that doesn't do anything good for you.
Okay. Whoa. Competitive spirit, okay?
Yeah, you're a little competitive.
No. Look, man, I'll bet you 10 bucks. No. I'll bet you my mortgage. Wait, you're God. No, I'll bet you my mortal soul, okay, that Joe over there has a much more competitive spirit than me. I mean, line us up next to each other, and I'll show you.
Do you hear what you're saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's not good at all.
No.
Okay, look, I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good, but when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because you need to see me. Okay, here we go. All right.
Yeah. Okay, look, see, that's a little part of the problem, all right? People, when they start seeing you and me, they get a little uncomfortable. I mean, my good friends do even, you know? And it's not that they don't like you. It's just that, you know...
Okay, so what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than allow me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
But that's what you meant.
I'm not sure what I meant. Look, here's the thing. I am trying, okay? I'm trying to be a good husband. I'm trying to be a good father. You know, I'm trying to be a good Christian.
What you're doing right now is called control. Your ways are not my ways. Are you going to control or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control, chisel, control, chisel.
No. Okay. Chisel.
All right, okay.
But can we do it the way I want to?
That's called control.
Okay.
All right. Trust me, this hurts me more than hurts you.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. You keep going to these empty wells to fill you up, and they don't work anymore in your life, but you insist on going to them. Let me chisel them out of your life. Don't look at these trials and those as a punishment, but as training. I know it feels like you're going against the grain here, but I'm trying to educate you. And what I don't want you to do is drop out. I promise you, this faith that I'm producing, it'll become mature. I need you to trust me.
Okay, then chisel away all you want. Everything that you see that you don't want there, then chisel it away. But just be prepared for what you're going to find inside there. Because I know what's in there. And what it is a scared little boy who gets up every morning and looks at himself in the mirror and hates what he sees. Because he looks at himself in the mirror and sees someone who's afraid to do anything. I want to be holy. I want to be more like you. I want all of these things, but trust me, I can't do it. But you go ahead and chisel away. You chisel away, but just be ready for what you're going to find in there.
My child, you have been listening to so many of the wrong voices for too much of your life. How can I show you that my love has no ends? I know, reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
These are the things I'm trying to chisel away out of your life. Reach in your back pocket. You know what that is?
It's a page out of my very first journal, right after I became a Christian.
I want to remind you of something. Read it out loud.
Today I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. How incredible it is to experience His love and forgiveness. I'm so thankful that God accepts me the way I am. But I also know that He loves me too much to leave me this way. I can't wait to see what He's going to do in me.
Tommy, the salvation that you hold, I do not want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. But no one said being transformed into the image of my son was ever going to be easy. Don't look at this as a prison, but look at it as a heavenly father loving his child. I don't want you to be crushed by my discipline, all right? But I don't want you to shrug it off either. The child that I love, I discipline. The child that I embrace, I'm going to correct.
Okay, then chisel away. Do whatever you have to do. No, I'm afraid of what you're going to find, but I'll trust you that you know what's in there. I'm willing, God. I'm willing.
If you ever get the chance to preach, do not play that video first, because that's tough. Is there something in your life God needs to chisel out? Sure, there is a mine. If you've got your Bible, join me in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to talk about somebody who was in Uncle Brian's sermon this morning, but he was in the background of his sermon. We're going to talk about Peter this evening. But Peter, prior to this point that we're going to be talking about, had been in that redneck experience of the cows and the and oh my and everything else going on. Excuse me, the pigs and all the craziness, the crazy people and all that. But anyways, this is later in Peter's life, and it doesn't say what time of day it was, but in my redneck mind, I picture it late evening. They're sitting around a campfire. It's kind of quiet. It's just Jesus and his disciples. And Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? But whom say ye that I am? And again, in my redneck Western video watching mind, I see Peter in the back of the room with a pocket knife, carving an apple and eating it right off the blade of the knife. And he speaks up and says, right here in verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Lord God, we do love you. God, we thank you for that rock, Lord, that truth that you are the very Son of God. You came to die for our sins. God, we can't thank you for that enough, Lord. You came to give us life, not just to have life, but, Lord, life that's more abundant, God. And I thank you for that in my life where I've experienced that. God, I ask you to be with us this evening and help us, Lord, to be more like your Son for having been here this evening. In your name I pray. Amen. What a cool answer Peter gave, right? And you wonder, Peter, that was... And by the way, we have no biblical evidence for the pocket knife thing. That's 100% CJ's imagination, ADD gone wild, right? So don't read too much into that. He's not John Wayne, he's Peter. But anyways, when they're sitting around, and Peter, without hesitating, without thinks about it, says, I know who you are. You know why that is? Because of the reasons we talked about this morning. Because of the things, the experiences that Peter had already walked through with Jesus Christ. Let's look at a couple of those. And first of all, in the first several chapters of Matthew, you can see where he sat directly under the teaching of Jesus Christ. Can you think of any better person to teach you? You know, they say you are the company you keep, right? Is there anyone better he could learn from than directly from the mouth of Jesus Christ? Chapter 8, we watched that Peter watched him heal a leper, right? Just like we talked about this morning, he watched him heal a man who was possessed with the devil. Chapter 9, he heals a man with the palsy, not the potty. That'd be a totally different experience. Chapter 9, he raises a little girl from the dead, right? They say, you're too late. And Jesus says, oh, but I'm right on time. And then my favorite part is in chapter 14, where they're out on the boat, there's a storm, right? They're out in the ship, it's another storm. It seems like that's a constant in the disciples' lives, another storm, another storm, another storm. And they see somebody out on the water, and they go, oh, no, it's a ghost. And he says, you know, have no fear, it's I. And Peter says, well, if it's you, I see a lot of me in Peter, by the way. I have to be honest with you. I think that's why I like Peter so much. I see some similar qualities between he and myself. And he goes, well, Lord, if that's you, tell us to come. And he goes, well, come on. That's redneck. He didn't say, come on. But he says to him, come. And Peter does what I would like to think I'd have the fear, the faith to do. And he steps out of the boat, right? And as you know, his eyes go in the storm. He ends up sinking. And then Jesus extends his hands to him and saves him again. Saves him again. And so there's no doubt when they're sitting around the campfire and he goes, who am I to you? I know who they say I am. But who am I to you? So Calvary, I want to challenge us tonight. Who is God to you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? And I'm so thankful for the Lord in my life. But we didn't end all of chapter 15, excuse me, all of chapter 16. Try again. 18. He says, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter the rock, and the church which I will build my, excuse me, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And by the way, the rock he's speaking of is the truth he had just spoken, just so that we're clear. He said, the truth that you just spoke, that I am the Son of the living God, is what I'm going to build my church on. And then there's this next phrase, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I've missed that. All this time I've gotten to, hey, you're Peter, you're the rock, and I'm going to build my everything on what you just said. I'm like, yeah, we can stop there. But Jesus didn't. He said, and all of hell will not prevail against it. And what he's painting a picture of is the life you and I live every day, and the life that's been going on since then and even before then. We've got these two forces fighting against each other, right? You've got heaven, you've got hell. We've got a decision to make. And it's seemingly a very easy decision, right? But gosh, there are so many people who choose hell every day. It really is kind of mind-blowing, and I think part of the reason is my fault. I think part of the reason is your fault. I think part of the reason is that we've really forgotten what hell is about. Right, we know it's this place we don't want to go. There's some funny-looking guy with a pitchfork, right? We make light of it. We think, oh, yeah, hell, that's, you know. Ted Turner says, oh, I can't wait to die and be thrown into the lake of hell. He said that. That's a direct quote from him. You can look that up. He said, I can't wait to die and be thrown into the lake of fire, making fun of hell. And we just mock it, and we treat it like it's just some truth. But hell is not something to be joked about. Hell is not something to be joked about or avoided, either one. And I think as a church, not as a church Calvary, but as a church people today, we just tend to shy away from the subject. Can I tell you, I didn't want to bring the sermon tonight. I grabbed Uncle Brian before the service and said, you got to come pray with me. I don't want to preach this thing tonight. I wanted him to pray for the Lord to come back. The Lord didn't answer my prayer, so I thought, well, Uncle B, give it a try. Let's see if maybe the Lord will come on his command. Turns out it doesn't work like that. But I don't want to talk about this any more than you do. but we have to. We have to because life depends on it. Because heaven and hell literally weighs in the balance of us having this conversation. So if you'll join me in Matthew at chapter 7, and while you're turning over there, last weekend I began to see the word Afghanistan cross my Facebook posts and things, and I kind of ignored it. I'm not a big military guy. I've got lots of family who have lots of military experience. I was entirely too sissy to have anything to do with that, so thank you guys for what you did. Thank you for our freedom. I'll have you cookies made when you get home or something, you know, but I don't have the courage to jump in a big old bird and fly across to Afghanistan and fight other people with machine guns. God didn't make me for that, you know. But these guys that are over there have been brought home, and you know, we're not going to get into the politics of all that, but the picture, when Uncle Brian actually called me, he said, did you see the plane in Afghanistan? I said, no, I haven't. I said, I keep seeing the word Afghanistan, and when I do, scroll up or swipe right or left or whatever it is. We're not dealing with that today. We're going to move right along. He said, you've got to see the video. It's unbelievable. He said, there are people climbing on the exterior of an airplane in hopes of getting out of that country. And I'm going, all right, Uncle Brian, maybe we need to have your blood sugar checked. I'm not sure that you understand what you're saying. He said, you have to look it up. And sure enough, I looked up, and there's video online of people literally climbing on the exterior, and you've seen it. You've all seen it this week, of people climbing on the exterior of an airplane, and they say, my chances against all the wind and all the forces are better than what's back home. That's a dedication. That's a dedication. That's a fear. That is a real awareness of what is coming. And we want to think that doesn't exist, but the truth is it's real. You can watch a video. They're falling from 500 feet in the air off of an airplane, and all in hopes of just getting out of their country. And again, we're not getting into the politics of it. You know, I wouldn't pretend to give you my views of that, other than to say that that's a brutal picture. But what they're experiencing is nothing like hell. As far as in their mind, if they... As soon as they die, it's over with, right? As far as they know. Hell is forever. Hell is forever. There's a few ways that hell is described in the Bible, and we're not going to get into all of them, but some of them are a place of weeping and torment. It's described as outer darkness, described as a lake of fire, a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. The rich man went there, and you know what he said? He said, can I get just a taste of water, just a drop of water? And they said, no. He said, then would you go tell my family? Would you go tell my family? Would you keep them from coming here? And it's never ending. There is no end to hell. That's the hardest part to me about it. And I know this is a little heavy for a youth service, and I don't apologize for that because I believe God told me to say this tonight. I believe this came directly from God. And can I tell you why I don't want to talk about it? This is my least favorite thing about Christianity is hell. I like almost everything else about Christianity. Not all the rules sometimes, but almost everything else about Christianity I love, I embrace, I adore, I thank God for. But I don't like hell because I've got family there. I've got friends there. And I've got friends and family who are there because I didn't have the courage to say, hey, friend, would you consider Jesus? And that bothers me. That'll keep you up at night. So it's easier just not to think about it. But it's a very real thing. But there's some things that we need to know about hell. The first thing is it was never intended for you. If you look in Genesis, he said he created the heavens and the earth. There's no mention of hell. It was not part of his original plan. People say, how could Jesus create hell? He didn't do it for kicks and grins. He did it for Satan and the fallen angels. This was their home. This is where they were supposed to go. But you know what they've done for generations, for years, for decades? They've taken people like you and I and said, hey, Christianity's not that big of a deal. Christianity's just, if it's convenient, do it. That's great. But it's not for everybody. And Jesus Christ tells a very different story. It is for everybody. There's the difference in hell and heaven is simply the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life I complicate things. And sometimes in my life I probably should. I don't know if you've been fishing lately. I go every other Friday morning with some friends, and it's very simple. There's about four men that go, and we take each other, fishing rods, and a boat. You know, lures, I guess you can include that. That's it. That's all we need, right? But occasionally my wife is like, hey, CJ, will you take me fishing? And I don't know if you know this or not, but she's remarkably cute. So I take her fishing every time she'll let me. But it's not nearly as simple. It's not just those four things. It's us. It's coolers. It's sunscreen. It's usually like 17 kids. I mean, there's all these other complications that go along with it, right? It becomes something very complicated. Another time I complicated something that was, I thought I was doing great. You know, Uncle Brian called one time and said, hey, I need you to bring me a bus up here to West Virginia. And I'm like, I got you, dude. I'm simple. All I need is a bus and diesel. I will get to you. I forgot one of those at 4 o'clock in the morning. And if you've heard the story before, it's awesome. If you haven't, we'll save it for another time. But maybe I was a little too simple. But anyways, I believe salvation is one of those things that we complicate. So tonight, this won't be the longest sermon you've ever heard in your life. You're welcome. Probably not the shortest one you've ever heard in your life either. But tonight, I just want to give you a very simple understanding of how you don't have to have any part of hell. How you can have no part of hell, right? It's very simple. Jesus Christ, he came to earth, even back up before that, right? God created Adam and Eve, had a beautiful life. Eve made a decision that broke our communication with God, right? Brought sin into the earth. Now you and I have sin. When you and I are born, we are sinners, right? It's unfortunate, but it's the truth, right? We are born with a chasm, if you will, between us and God. Jesus Christ said, I'm not going to stand for that. He dies. He comes to earth, lives a perfect, sinless life, dies for your sins. And did he die some easy, convenient, you know, death? No. No, he was brutally beaten and died on the cross because he had to pay for all of the sins. He had to pay for all of the sins. And so Jesus Christ died, paid the payment for your sin, rose again 3 days later, conquering hell. We'll say it again, conquering hell, defeating Satan. And now that blood of Jesus Christ is available to you and I. And all we have to do is say, God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for me. Lord, I confess my sin to you, and I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, you're the Lord of my life now. Right? We watched the video. God, here's the hammer. Here's the chisel. I'm yours. Right? I'm yours. And allow God to work in your life. By the way, have you discovered that God will do so much better with your life than you ever anticipated that you could do? Right? I'm just telling you. You take Jesus Christ away from my life, I'm some little brat in a trailer park in Red Bank, whatever it's called, and I'm just some little twerp with no hope. No hope. Born out of accidents and bad decisions, right? And God takes that little boy. I don't know if you've seen my wife or my family or not, but they're pretty spectacular. God does amazing things with broken. And I'm so thankful for that. And so that is salvation. I know that sounds simple, but it really is that simple. We want to complicate it. We want to get in here. We want to argue all this. But listen, God died for your sins. Jesus, all you have to do is accept that, and you will have no part of hell. And now I've got a question for you. What kind of friend would you and I be if we didn't share that with our friends? What kind of friend would you and I be if we didn't share that with our other friends? Now, I'm not saying take your Bible to school tomorrow and hit your teacher in the face with it. That's probably going to work out really bad for you. But you and I have the opportunity to live this life out in front of other people so they look at us and say, there's something different. There's something different about Kevin. Right? Would we all agree with that? Don't mess up, Kevin. No pressure. But when you live a life for Jesus Christ, it shines. It stands out because we live in a very dark world. It's not hard to do. It's not always easy, but it's not that hard to do just to make one decision. Say, God, I'm going to do the next thing right for you. And I'm so thankful that God allows us to do that. And we talked about how heaven was never intended for us. The second thing, if you've got your Bible, if you'll join me in Romans 5, We're going to look at verses 6 and 8. It's completely avoidable. For when we were yet sinners, except for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You ain't got to get cleaned up to make things right with the Lord. Isn't that cool? I'd still be cleaning. If I had to get right, you know, and clean things up in my life, I'd still be using the old polish. But I'm thankful that while I was broken, while I was useless, God came to me and said, I've got you. I've got a plan for you, and I'm so thankful for that. I tell you what I'm thankful for is a life with Jesus Christ isn't just about escaping hell. It's really not. Right? The Bible says it's appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I'm thankful that you know, what does it say? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You know, you can't make enough money to really make a difference in the universe. You know, you can help people out, but you can't make enough money to really change the world. You just can't. But you can find purpose in Jesus Christ. Anybody need some purpose in here tonight? Anybody need some ambition? Anybody need something to wake up in the morning for? Because I'm going to be honest with you, if it's just my day job, well, I'm miserable. You know, if it's just for my second job, I like nice lines and grass, but I mean, it's just not that exciting to me to live my life for. But Jesus says, I will give you purpose. So I'll give you life, not just life, but abundant life. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So back to the original question. Peter and the guys around the campfire, and again, that's just in my imagination. Maybe there's a fire, maybe there wasn't. But we do know it was a very, just a small gathering, just them. And he says, but who do you say I am? So who is Jesus Christ in your life? Who do you want Jesus Christ to be in your life? Is there something in your life that needs to be chiseled that you're going, God, that's not, you're not going to like what's behind that. Is there something in your life that you say, God, I wear this coat because it hides the cupcake top, muffin top, whatever the thing is. Lord, I like this coat, but if you pull that thing off, you're gonna see something under there that you might not want to see. I'm thankful that God already sees it, and I'm thankful that he loves us. And in my life, Jesus took a little boy who, again, had no hope. You've all heard my testimony until you're sick of it, but a little boy was at a children's home. By his 8th birthday, mom says, I can't help you. Dad says, you're not worth it. And the psychologist says there's no reason to try. Jesus took that little boy and gave him a purpose. He gave him a family. A family. Didn't see that one coming. I always wanted one, but I just didn't see that one coming. I'm going to be honest with you. Not the beautiful family I have, Brother Allen. I'm thankful for the life that God's given me, the purpose he's given me, and I'm thankful that hell is not part of my future. And I'm thankful that God's given me a passion. He's given me, I'm thankful, I don't like to name names, but I'm thankful for my friend Clay. He's the one I go fishing with, and I said, Clay, let's use Friday to go to encourage other ministers. You know, let's take my preacher, and let's take some other preachers and take them fishing. And he said, CJ, there's people going to hell. Why don't we bring them out there and tell them? I was like, okay, cool, bring them out and be like, hey, man, you want to go to heaven or you want to swim back? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that probably is not the best, you know, evangelistic outreach tool. But he said, CJ, how can we just hang out with each other when there's people going to hell? And I'm thankful for Clay in my life. I'm thankful for the other men in my life who've encouraged me to step up. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm not here to, you know, to change your outlook. I just want us to know hell is real. Hell is real. Hell's not a joke. Hell is not, you know, something. And we should be concerned for our families who don't have Jesus Christ. We should be awake at night for our family members, for our friends who don't have Jesus Christ because they are in harm's way. If you saw a bus coming towards any of my kids, there's not a person in this room who wouldn't run and shove my kid out of the way. I know that to be true. But there's something worse than a bus coming. And if I die tomorrow, tell my kids about Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for the challenge of this message. God, I thank you for the hope of this message. God, and I thank you that while I was a sinner, God, you died for me. You provided a way out of hell. Lord, your will is that nobody would go to hell. God, you offered the solution. God, we reject it. The only way we'd go to hell is to reject your son. And God, I accept your son. I thank you for your son. And God, I ask you for the courage. I ask you for the strength to take your son and share him with everybody I meet, God. Would you help, Lord, help me to be a better Christian for you. God, would you chisel fear out of my life? God, would you chisel anything in my life, God, that doesn't make me more like your son? I thank you for our church here. In your name I pray. Amen.